Again, this will be our last class of this quarter on World Religions Plus. And we're going to conclude tonight with Roman Catholicism. Roman Catholicism. You know, as I was thinking about Roman Catholicism and history, a lot has been history, a lot of dates, a lot of progression of times, a lot of councils. And I was thinking, what a missed opportunity for the Roman Catholic Church. A missed opportunity that in those church fathers that they knew, they saw what occurred. They had witnesses, they had the writings very close to them about what God wanted. And what God wanted through those apostles, and ultimately what Christ Jesus wanted. And the way He would treat people, the attitudes they will have both to neighbors and members of the congregations, that in that treatment of one another, guided by the Scriptures. And they had those Scriptures. And I thought about the missed opportunities they had to continue what they had before them, what they had in their hands. But even had witnesses to. And they decided to mix and mingle the things of Christ that had been revealed by the 12 apostles. May I say 13 apostles. Guided by the real Holy Spirit. Not what they presumed they've had through their succession of popes. And I wonder sometimes, why they changed. I can see in the progression of time that they matters of authority, they wanted their own authority. They wanted to dilute things of Christ. They wanted to be popular. And of course they were fighting the Roman government. They were fighting idolatry. Hey, they've been fighting that already. The Jews fighting that, their lives. Christ fighting that. The apostles dealing with it. And unbelief. And so what a great opportunity they missed to continue the things that they had in their hands. The words they had in hand that they could remember. You know, here we are in 2023. And if I could say, just, you know, a couple hundred years ago, here's George Washington and those first presidents and this new experiment in the world about a representative democracy. That was a big deal. It's still being resented in this world. But to continue that in that good theme, the good way to treat people. And here we're talking a most serious subject, the most serious, okay, eternal life. That the Christ had been predicted, the Christ that had come, the Christ that had taught, the Christ that was resurrected, the apostles continue that teaching without error. And what a missed opportunity the Catholic Church had, okay, in not continuing that. I was looking at the Orthodox Church a little more, and there's some hints in there, you know, organization, things like that. It's kind of a sense that they picked up on it. But to change the religion by vote in these councils, change religion because of the Roman government, to dilute their precious beliefs with that of paganism, such a missed opportunity that they had to continue the things of Christ and those who had martyred for that cause. And God's a loving God. God's a God with compassion. God's a God with justice. But here we are today, dealing with principles, principles of attitude, principles of written scripture that we can trust, that we have a great opportunity to know the things that are true in the first century. Things that were prophesied from the previous centuries and millenniums. And that we come to understand that Not because we're told in some catechism, not because we're told in some Westminster faith, not because we've dealt in commentaries after commentaries, but because we have the true word in front of us. And the Roman Catholic Church, 1.4 billion people claim Roman Catholic, Roman Catholicism. And I've talked to Catholics, especially other Catholics, and they say they don't learn the Bible, they learn the catechism, or they deal with chants or the show of festivals. And it's just not something that's being taught by Roman Catholicism. And I don't see them changing. I thought about these councils they went through. We went through those last times. And pretty momentous decisions they were dealing with based on Scripture, they say. And they could have made changes in those councils. They could have got back to the Word. But they chose not to. Egos, pride, maybe some more conflicts with the local government around them, Romans or others. But they could have chose that. So I'm just lamenting here with you that we have a responsibility too today to not get hung up in the things that they got hung up in, conforming with society, adopting compromise in the things that are true and revealed. And we need to fight that in this life, in our life, those who we come in contact with. Because we can come to understand that there is truth out there. These apostles really did live. Abraham really did live. And of course, the apostles and Christ Jesus lived. And so we have the Bible in front of us. We have that. And we have an attitude that we want to please the Creator. And so I just wanted to talk about that a minute, about, again, the missed opportunity the Roman Catholic Church has and had, okay, in their existence. Roman Catholicism, in their compromise with the world, they adopted things that are really idolatrous. They adopted things that are really self-serving in their authority. They adopting things that it doesn't say it in the Scripture, but I'm going to read it into it. And I'm going to bind it on other people. Billions of people. I'm going to say, too, that as we noticed in the history of printing Bibles and making Bibles available, the Word available to the common folk, or even to those churches, you know, a good Bible in front of them to deal with. They resisted that. Matter of fact, to the point of death, the people who tried to make that Word available. After all, the Roman Catholic Church, Christian Church, said, we believe in the Bible, we believe in Jesus, we believe in the apostles. But they chose not to. And that's all I can say about that. I think that they could have changed, but they didn't. Anyway, you see some changing today. I mean, they're trying to change today to become more like the world, to accommodate the world. I mean, even when you take the abortion in politicians. I mean, here's one diocese out here in California, you know, won't serve Mary Pelosi, the ex-Speaker of the House, communion. But you get in New York and those dioceses will serve it to these men who want to extinguish life up to birth. And they've got opportunities today to do what's right. you know, set in the past, and they change. And again, all we can do is deal with truth in our lives and do the things that we can influence. Okay, the next generation and ours also. So if anybody has anything to add to that, all right, but that's, I'm just kind of talking here a minute. But Roman Catholicism, how many popes have they had so far?
Too many.
Too many, okay. But apparently the count is 366. Okay? 366 popes had a chance to change direction.
From the face or from Peter?
Yeah, well, from Peter, I'm just saying, okay. And we all know that, the many popes. But they've also got councils of cardinals and bishops. They've got a magisterium that they use through their teaching. And they have these things to justify their actions, justify their decisions. What would you do if you had a chance to talk to some of those cardinals and popes? You'd probably get mixed up in all the language that throw at you, for one thing. You never seen so much Latin and words, and what does that mean? Okay? I think sometimes the language covers up the meanings, okay? It makes them appear smarter than they are, as far as religion goes. You know, it takes a pretty good brain to obfuscate, to change, to nuance, to read into, okay, what scriptures are plainly said. And so that says that they're not stupid. They're not dumb. They're just steeped in tradition. Steeped in tradition as an authority. Equal with Christ and the apostles. So it's very interesting, okay? Now, there's a few things they've adopted over the years, okay? And again, in your material, I'll just do this, like, you know, they've done certain words they use, like, who's the mother of God and Mary, those things associated with Mary. They've done things about prayer to Mary. And we talked about the Orthodox Church, and they're heavy into Mary worship. I'll say the word worship. And depending on Mary for protection, for provisions, for good health, and a ticket into heaven. And those are things, even what AD 600 has got here, okay? But those things were very, very early on. Again, we're only 2023. So they maintain those kind of decisions. Immaculate conception. Okay, well, let's see. You've got original sin. That's the imputed guilt, okay, from Adam. And that's born into everyone. So you got to declare that Mary, the mother of Jesus, okay, had no sin. They get themselves boxed into a corner. And just take the truth the way it is, they wouldn't have that problem. But they stay with those. They stay with them, that teachings. So we noticed in the councils last time, I talked about some of those ways they try to get around it, whether Jesus was created or not. It goes on and on. And when did he become deity or not? And it's a interesting, again, a dilemma they get themselves into by not wanting to change. In our lives, we've changed. At one time, we were not believers. We may have been in like Roman Catholicism. We may have been in whatever religion. And you're going to meet people. And we come to believe and have trust and confidence, okay, in what we're told and what we read more especially, okay, and verify in the scriptures that there is truth out there. There is a heaven and a hell. No in between. That judgment is at death. And so people try to change. Some people want to stay the same. They want to get more people in the congregations. And you'll see, we saw in some of the folk religions and the others, that you want to appeal to people for emotion. You want to appeal to people for those things that deal with their family. Well, what's the most important thing in life? Deal with family. Heaven and hell. Understanding that. So Roman Catholicism, again, adopts things, and again, so many billion people. And a lot of us deal with Mary. And they want to say, when they make their decisions, whether the Pope or the Magisterium, well, the Holy Spirit was guiding us. Well, wait a minute. You know, the Scripture has been revealed once for all time when you read the Bible. But they add to it, take away. Yeah, I thought there was a lot of prohibitions, even in the Old Testament. Don't add to or take away. But they do that. And so those are things to be aware of when you talk to Roman Catholics, that they may not know the Scriptures, and that's probably a good bit. And you want to be their friend, their neighbor. You want to be the one that will talk straight and stay with Scripture. Stay with Scripture. They developed, when they couldn't use the Bible, they developed sacraments. They developed the catechism. And I was looking at the catechism, you know, 800 pages. You know, that's that's a lot of pages. You know, Bible's about that size, maybe a little more, a little less. But if you read that catechism, I mean, it tells you everything that you need to be a Catholic to believe. They tell you how they reach decisions. They tell you how they're organized. And that's really the book they study. The Scriptures is that sideline thing you reference in there. We'll see that in commentaries too. So that's one of the things we need to deal with and live with. Now, I had a handout tonight, and it has 6 items on it. Roman Catholic beliefs versus what the Bible teaches. I guess that's, like I mentioned to you, that's all we need is more paper. But again, it's a little more compact, a little more abbreviated items to deal with, just a few items in Roman Catholicism, and things to be aware of. And they had asked one time, they had wanted one time to be sola, what's the word, sola scriptura, Bible only. Well, you claim that, but why do you have the catechism? Why do you only teach the catechism? Why do you say that the sacraments, those 7 sacraments, that's the way you acquire grace? The way you acquire salvation. The way you acquire saving salvation. And so why do you have those other materials? Okay? I can understand it to a sense. But then when you look in the diocese and you look at the different meetings they had, that's what they teach. That's what they teach. And so be aware of that. And it wouldn't hurt you to maybe look at a catechism. They're online. You can pull them up. Pull it up. Different, and kind of get a big picture of what's going on. And it plainly says in there most of the time, okay, how they came to the decisions that they come to. And how they progress in life in changing their mind, modifying their positions, or adding new positions. And the back of this handout, I just did the ones on the 7 sacraments. I'm printed from their material. And I've got summations of that in the material I gave you. And that they're good. It's all good. But I just want you to see a little bit that those sacraments are there. And again, you don't do a sacrament, you sin. Now, in this handout I have, I took like number one, what about authority? You know, I think Steve just taught a class in Arkansas about authority. Well, what's the root word of authority? Author. The author of something. The originator. And we got the grandkids over, and they're kind of doing Harry Potter. And under that umpteen movies they put out and books. And, you know, Ms. Rollins, who authored all that, she wrote those books. She's the author of them. She's the originator of all them, those names, okay? All that mysticism, all that magic, all them flying brooms and on and on and on and on, masters that teach that sort of thing. And so there's an author of things that knows what's in it. And so you get the word authority. And when we say the scripture, when we say the Bible, when we say those things that pertain to eternal life, those things that were blood bought, you know, you got it in your Old Testament and your New Testament. So the author of that is the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Those men guided by the Holy Spirit to write down what we have. Again, that's what section 4 was about. So, authority in religion. In your handout, now the Catholic Church teaches that its authority is in the magisterium, its pope, its cardinals, its bishops and priests, its own traditions and books, its councils, its interpretation of the visible and unknown Bible verses. There's some unknown Bible verses that are referenced, okay, or made up, modified. And it's interesting, I haven't really looked into the idea of magisterium before. You always say, well, the Pope declares it, you know, and that's it, it's infallible, you know, and it's a council of cardinals. But the magisterium is interesting. It's an interesting word if you need to look that up. It's really not people's sort, it's really the authority to teach. We have the authority from God to teach. And that's what the word comes from. And they take that in total, that if their bishop starts something somewhere, an idea, and if that idea tends to gain hold, it tends to gain approval, and then that spreads throughout those many dioceses. And you know, if we're teaching that and we're not getting any problem with it, it must be from God. So, if it must be from God, it gets up to the Pope, and finally the Pope gives some approval to it. After all, God's letting it go on. So then all of a sudden it becomes a teaching, included in the catechism. That's what's happened over the years. Is that how you get authority? Okay, because people accept it? Okay, is that where things tend to move? So that's kind of the authority part, and I want to do a magisterium on it. Now, we know in the first part here, Matthew 28:18, Matthew tells us, okay, as he did back then, and Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Well, he had the authority. Authorship, him and the Father are united in everything. Of course, that's what got him in trouble a lot, because he claimed that. We are united in everything. Thought, mind, purpose. And it wasn't to our glory, Jesus' glory, it wasn't to the Father's glory, in a sense. It was to you be. You're the ones we're doing this for. Because of that word, L-O-V-E. So they didn't understand that because they were used to power. They were used to having their own authority. So, and Jesus again plainly tells them, given to me. And what did Jesus do with the authority? Did he keep it to himself? Did he share it? Yes. Did he exercise the power that he had to prove what he was saying, that he had the authority? Yes. Did his apostles, did he tell the apostles? Yes. Did they tell people they were with? Jesus is the bedrock, the cornerstone, the rock. Yeah, he did that because of L-O-V-E. So when you talk of authority, that's that. Now, Christ is all authority in his word. Well, in John 12, 48 through 50, the one who rejects me and does not accept my teachings as one who judges him. The word which I spoke, that will judge him on the last day. For I did not speak on my own, but the Father himself who sent me has given me commandment as to what I say and what I speak, and I know his commandments. I know his commandments are his eternal life. Therefore, the things I speak just as the Father has told me. That's a pretty heavy authority. And for a Jew, and for the Pope, they need to understand it's from the Father. The authority is in Christ. Authority is what he wrote, what he guided the apostles into. And if they want to deviate, change, modify, add to what's been written, that's on them. But we can have the we can develop the ability to help others who are in Catholicism to change their mind, to question what they've been doing their whole life. And it's not easy, because when you as a 7 days old are baptized and you got godparents, and next week you're in the Mass, and the week after that you're in the Mass, and you're 6 months old and a year old, and a year and a half, 2 years, 3 years, you're always in the Mass. Well, that's hard to overcome. I mean, that's a habit that's you don't want to go against. And since they've been around for a few thousand years, okay, well, not a few, okay, over 1,000 years, almost two, that there must be something going on within that Catholic Church. Yeah, there is. Popularity. Distortion. That's why you don't see debates with Roman Catholics at any level concerning Scripture only, sola scriptura. Because they've got so many things they've done that are outside Scripture. Now, so Christ and the apostles, what do they do with it? What do they do with that knowledge, the authorship that they've been told, things they're guided in Christ? Well, Christ's all authority is in his word. We just read that. And that word is going to judge you in the last day. And what can I say? Judgment's going to come. Judgment's going to come. And it has come for many, many people. And God, again, God be the judge of that. Now, Christ has all authority in the Word and the Bible, 2 Timothy 3:16, which we all know. All Scripture inspired by God, beneficial for teaching, for rebuke, for correction, for training in righteousness. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. And it says all Scripture is inspired. Well, what is Scripture? You've got it in your hands. We talked about the different translations. We talked about how they were translated. Some translations are better than others. But all of them are 98% right, and little odds and ends there. If you've got a good Bible, it'll tell you where there's a verse difference, words difference. Okay? Where some manuscripts, later manuscripts, wasn't in there, but it's in there now. So you've got that truth in your hands. So, and that's something you need to learn. So it's in the Word. And in 2 Peter 1:3, Christ's all authority with written word is all sufficient, for his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness. What? Granted to us everything. everything we need to life and godliness through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. And 2 Timothy 3:17, so that the man or woman of God may be fully capable, equipped for every good work. Good work to their neighbor, good work to their fellow believer, good work to their family. And all of this is glorified in God, everything He's written down, okay, for us. Now, authority in religion. You know, my second page, well, I don't know, this may not be a second page on yours, all right? But in 1 Peter 2:2, and like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the Word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. Well, again, yearn for it. Yearn for the Word. Not for the catechism. Not for those things of commentaries. Yeah, they got a place. But yearn to see what's in the Word. In the Word. Because that'll give you confidence and trust in your actions, your decisions, your attitudes. Those things that pertain to neighbors and fellow believers. And let's see. And in 2 Timothy 2:15, be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a worker who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. Okay? You don't have to be hedgy. Well, where did that come from, Roman Catholic? Where did you get that idea of Immaculate Conception? Where did you get that idea of whatever issue? We'll go through some of those. Where did you get that idea of, you know, judgment? Oh, there's judgment after death? What? And so don't be ashamed to say it's in the book. Can you imagine answering a question like that, life and death and eternity, and says, well, it's not really in the book. You know, I got this other book here. It's in there. Purgatory or whatever it is. Yes, sir?
Half the church is so full of, especially the Roman Catholic, so full of contradictions. When I was younger, I met a group of Catholics that still, you could Google it, still alive. It's called the Catholic Charismatic Renewal. And I met this group, and they were speaking tongues, they were using the power of the Holy Spirit, they were releasing miraculous gifts. And then basically go with a Pentecostal church, if any way. And that part of the Catholic Church.
Well, the Catholic Church is Pentecostal. The Spirit guides us. Okay? Maybe not as direct as some Pentecostal quote unquote churches. But that's what they claim. But it contradicts the Word. And I saw a preacher one time take his Bible and rip pages out of it in a sermon. And that's really what they do. Rip the pages out. I got a magic marker you can't see through. Slash them words. And there's so many, over a billion people that need your expression to them of what is truth. And here in this country, we have Roman Catholics. There's more Spanish-speaking Roman Catholics coming across the border every day. And there's growing congregations of churches of our Lord that are dealing with Spanish-speaking people. Do they have a basis already? Well, you got a basis already in Catholicism. That helps. It's hard to deal. If you go in Islam, it's a tough one there to start. But you already got somewhat of a basis. But again, you've got to overcome the family and tradition. Family and tradition. Family and tradition. Now, It's hard. We talked about authority. It's hard to get the idea that there's more. There's authority beyond me. There's authority out there that's God. After all, God started all this writing thing. He started all the Jewish thing. He started the world turning. Hey, we need to get some respect. And in Jeremiah 10:23, I know, Lord, that a person's way is not in himself, nor is in a person who walks to direct his steps. With respect to religion, with respect to truthfulness, with respect to the Creator. God told Jeremiah that, and he told those people that. He's telling us that today, okay, to understand that in this life as we go through it. In man's interpretations, 2 Peter 1:20 and 21. But know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture becomes a matter of someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Spirit spoke from God. God told me to write this. God approves what we've been doing here in the bishops. So it must be right. Let's call it Scripture. Let's call it from the Holy Spirit. So again, Peter warned that. Oh, Peter warned that, huh? Peter said that. That's interesting. It'd be an interesting study to take Peter only and deal with what everything he wrote down, okay, guided by the Holy Spirit, and compare it to the present day, okay, Roman Catholicism. And the commands of men, Matthew 15:3-9. And he answered and said to them, why do you yourselves also break the commandment of God for the sake of your tradition? And when you break the commandment of God, yeah, sure, right here we're talking about the one who speaks evil of father and mother. Honor father and mother. They knew the Ten Commandments. Honor father and mother. But you're speaking evil of them. What kind of authority do you have to do that? Is that what God wants? Well, Matthew dealt with that issue. Now, and beyond that, if you're saying those things and doing those things, I guess what? It was prophesied in the Old Testament. This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me, and in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. I may say men and women. We still got men and women, don't we? We still got men and women here, okay? So those commandments are there, and they're going to teach their views, and call it what you may. Call it what you may. Whatever shade of gray it is, they're going to do it. So just be aware of that when you talk and discuss and reason with Scripture. Now, I just mentioned traditions. Matthew 15:3, we talked about why do you yourselves also break commandment of God for the sake of your tradition. And Colossians 2:8-10. See to it that there is no one who takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception in accordance with human tradition, in accordance with the elementary principles of the world, rather than in accordance with Christ. Verse 9, for in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form, and to him you have been made complete. And he is the head over every ruler and authority. That's a pretty comprehensive statement. That's the idea, stick with Scripture. Stick with Scripture, and tradition can get you going down the wrong path. It can push you away from sound doctrine. It can push you into areas that feel good, get smiles, pat on the back. It can do things that maybe help your income, joyous life. But it's all a charade. You can be joyous, you can be happy in Christ without going by traditions and letting them guide you in this life, especially when it contradicts what's been revealed in Scripture. 1 Peter 1:18. Knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life, inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. Again, hearkening back to the idea of the sacrifice. That sacrifice of L-O-V-E. From the beginning. Prophesied and fulfilled in Scripture. Fulfilled in the times of Christ. And again, fulfilled today. Okay, for us. And for all those who would believe. Now, well, I'm up to number 2. Okay? Foundation and elevation of the Apostle Peter. Now, let me just read all my 6 pieces real quick. Number two is the foundation and elevation of the Apostle Peter. Number three was the infallibility of the Pope. Number four is the veneration and prayer to Mary. Number five is purgatory. And number six is a doctrine of transubstantiation. I guess let me ask you, what's the infallibility of the Pope? Is that what we've been talking about? Yeah? Yeah. What's infallibility mean?
Can't sin.
Can't sin?
Well, he's above it all.
Yeah. I'm the teacher of truth. I'm infallible. What I say is what Christ says and thinks and approves. Okay. Infallible. And over a billion people, maybe more, especially in the African areas now where they're moving into. And you start with the idea of Peter, which I have on your paper. You can read into him about everything is positioned on Peter and the succession of popes. Well, let's see. Succession of popes really means that succession of inspired people led by the Holy Spirit in truth, what we say and what we do. So that's really the meaning of that, isn't it? And here's people who don't want to be tested against the book. Interesting, huh? Don't test me against the book. So that's succession of popes. Now, and again, the Bible teaches Jesus is the foundation of the church of 1 Corinthians 3:11. For no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 10:4, and all drink from the same spiritual drink, for they were drinking from a spiritual rock which followed them, and the rock was Christ. So, the foundation of the church is faith and trust in Christ, and you deal with that. Jesus is the cornerstone, dealing down 1 Peter 2:6. Jesus gave the same power to all the apostles. He did, Matthew 18:18. There was no superior pope. There was no superior apostle. They had the power, the apostles' teaching, the apostles' power, the apostles' gifts. And that's duly said. So Peter wasn't in charge of that. Okay? And Peter was married. Matthew 8:14, 1 Corinthians 9:4 deals with the idea, the question, can we bring our believing wives with us? Sure you can. Sure you can as you travel around doing God's work. It's the infallibility of the Pope. I got those verses on that, which you have, and the veneration of prayer and Mary. This is a big deal. And purgatory and the doctrine of transubstantiation is the idea of dealing around the Lord's Supper and the literal blood and literal body. One quick point on that. As a priest, if you've seen them in the ceremony, they're not allowed to drink the fruit of the vine. But you're allowed to take the bread. And they say that bread is the body, yes, but it is the blood also. Interesting. Okay? So in effect, you are taking the blood and the body. The blood and the body. Okay? But the priest won't let you have it in the ceremony. All right. Thank you all very much. Appreciate your attention this semester. Thank you.